Another Ace in the Hole by Sean McBride, read by James Paul Xavier. As Tank walked down the street, ignoring the laughter of the other children and endeavoring to eliminate the hurt of their cruel remarks, he happened upon a card lying in the gutter. It looked old, and its edges were tattered, the face dark from dirt caked into the card's waxy surface. It was an ace of spades, which made Tank feel particularly vindicated and excited. It was the death card, a card that bled power. He ran his hand over the rippled surface and took a deep breath, relishing the thought of warm energy running up his arm from the card. He was shocked out of his reverie by a rock glancing off the top of his head. Laughter reverberated through the air, muffling Tank's cry. They were nothing new to him, these random acts of violence, so he ran forward, ignoring the pain shooting down his back and making an effort to ignore the jeering of the children behind him, all the while wiping tears from his face. Running was never Tank's forte. However, because of times like these, he did it often. The sight of Tank running away was always a surprise, because it seemed a boy that big just couldn't move that fast. Despite his quickness, Tank was still shocked to escape. In his estimation, children were cruel as a matter of nature, but the only one who resorted to extreme violence, like throwing rocks, was Ace, the local bully. Tank hated Ace and his cronies. The only thing they seemed capable of creating was misery. And once they started in on you, they usually didn't let you go. But maybe the card was good luck. Usually Ace and his crew meant business if they went as far as to throw rocks. Tank ran all the way home, clutching the card in his chubby little fingers, praying for deliverance between gasping breaths. Once he was home, he didn't stop to pay respects to his mother in the kitchen or plop down in front of the television, as he was prone to do. Instead, he ran straight for his room, barreling his way up the stairs. Once in his safe haven, he collapsed to the floor, gasping for breath, trying to cover his rosy, wet face. He lay there for an hour, feeling his head for blood and crying to himself about his weight problem. He hated being fat more than he hated the bullies who tortured him. He looked in mirrors and grimaced, knowing the only way to lose weight would be to go on a diet and eat only good foods. He might even have to exercise. The thought made him want to vomit. After his hour of sulking, he remembered the card, which he had crushed in his fat little hand. He let out a small squeak, thinking he might have ruined any magic in the card by crushing it, so he bent over it and pressed it on the carpet, hoping and praying the card wasn't ruined, that the crinkles would come out and it would still work. He was distracted by his mother calling him down to dinner. Any worries about the card or the day's transgressions left him, and he sprinted for the door, whipping it open and shooting down the stairs. Dinner time was, after all, his favorite time of the day. Tank's real name was Tanner Miller. The nickname came not just because of the resemblance to his real name, but also because he had a tendency to run over things without noticing them. Tank's mother had taken all fragile knickknacks out of the house because of his clumsiness. That was where the nickname had originated, from his penchant for destruction. But it wasn't that Tank was clumsy, though he was. It was that he never quite realized how big he actually was. He would walk by something, thinking he had enough clearance, and run right into it. Tank was an only child in the Miller household, and thus was spoiled all his life, given portions of two instead of one. This could be said to account for his abnormal largeness, but that wouldn't be entirely correct. Tank had a genetics problem. He was born with a damaged thyroid that threw off his metabolism. Somewhere in the back of his mind, he knew this and accepted it. It was partly the reason he never fought back against bullies at school, because he knew that there was nothing he could do to change it. When his father was still alive, he had told Tank that acceptance of his obesity was the only true way to happiness. Tank fully believed him, because his father had been overweight too. Albert Ronald Jackson Miller, or just AJ for short, had died of a heart attack at the age of 35. Tank's mother had grieved briefly, but then turned her attention to Tank to fill the void left by AJ. Tank's mother was eternally loving and always told Tank he looked great, that he was a handsome little man. What Tank didn't realize was that Province Miller wasn't saying this out of a mother's love. She just liked larger men. Not that she was attracted to her son. She just felt big men were much more attractive. Province was the one person Tank always felt comfortable around. When he was home, she would smother him with care, making him feel truly loved, enabling him to ignore his obesity. She made him feel human, something Tank wasn't used to feeling. When he went to school, he felt like an alien. He knew other people were staring at him. He knew they laughed at him behind his back, sometimes getting bold and yelling out such childish pearls as, "Look out, here comes fat ass!" and, "Since when do they allow elephants in school?" Tank took much of this in stride, and used his imagination to picture their colorful insults. He would imagine he was an elephant, walking around in the barren wastelands of the Serengeti, towering above all the small gazelle and prairie dogs, which had his classmates' faces. He dreamed one of them might look up at him and realize they were just two creatures running alone in the desert and ask for his friendship. It never happened. Tank never had any friends, and he always ran home after school. The next day, as Tank was getting ready for school, he noticed the card sitting on the floor, a lonely ace sitting on the barren carpet. He reached down and picked it up, rubbing it against his pant leg to straighten it. He turned and placed it on his dresser as he pulled on his shirt. Once his shirt was on, he put the card in the front pocket, facing in, holding the face of the card to his heart, and then waddled down the staircase for breakfast. When Tank got to school, it was the same routine. Kids jeering and yelling obscenities at him. He went from class to class, ignoring his peers and trying to find his happy place, where their tormenting yells could be ignored. His imagination was vast, and it took him to many places. But perhaps his favorite was an amusement park where he could go on all the rides and people would hang out and play with him. Girls batted their eyes at him. He had been infatuated with amusement parks since he was 10 years old. He and his mother had gone for his birthday. His mother had thought it might be good for him to get out and get some fresh air, get on some rides, and forget about his weight problem. Tank had protested the entire way, so much so that his mother had almost turned the car around to take him home, scolding him for his laziness. She didn't, though, unfortunately for Tank. When they entered the park, Tank thought it was the greatest place on Earth. He loved the loud noises, the conglomeration of people, and the large rides that seemed to fly. But the smells and the food were the best part. He couldn't think of a better way to spend his birthday, and he thanked his mother enthusiastically. They were at the park for an hour, his mother begging him to go on a ride when they finally got in line. It seemed to be in jest, his mother acting like a child, pulling on his sleeve and stamping her feet. Tanner enjoyed the attention, although he did his best to play it off, wanting to give his mother a bear hug to show her his love, unable to express it in words. The coaster was his mother's choice, a big, twisting thing she was sure he would love. After waiting 2 hours, they got to the front of the line and were getting ready to board. Tanner got in first and crushed himself in the corner of the car, giving his mother room to get in. He wanted her to enjoy herself as he had. He never wanted that smile on her face to wane. Conversely, he wanted to feel free like a bird with wind whipping around him. His mother got on next to him and gave him a big smile, coercing one out of him as well. It was the biggest smile he had ever given, so big it split his lips. Then the attendant came by and tried to close the bar over them, only it wouldn't close. Tanner was just too big. Province threw a fit, yelling at the attendant, saying he wasn't doing his job and the manager should come out and they would have words. The attendant apologized, motioning to the safety regulations posted on the wall, and Province grabbed Tank's hand and stormed to the next ride, with the same result. With each subsequent rejection, Province's face got more and more red, her fists balled so tightly they became white. Tank tried to meekly suggest they should just enjoy the park and forget about the rides, but when she finally started to cry, she turned to him and said, "No one can tell you that you can't do something. They're all being mean. You have to stand up for yourself." The memory of the smells and campy atmosphere stayed with Tank, not the embarrassment. and he used it as his primary escape, his happy place, somewhere people couldn't hurt him, no matter what they said or did. It was the memory of the place he had been happiest, and it was too strong for others to penetrate. So when he got to school that day, in his head he went to the park, this time imagining he was on one of the rides, flying through the air with wind blowing through his hair and all his cares far below him on the ground. But his imagination was so strong he didn't notice Mr. Robertson had been talking to him for a few moments before he recognized Tank wasn't paying attention. Mr. Robertson got down on one knee in front of him and shook his shoulders, knocking him out of his trance. "Tanner? Tanner, are you okay, son?" Yes, sir." Tank's hand jumped to his chest pocket to hide the card. "You're pretty spaced out there for a minute. I was just giving you kudos for your nameplate." "Thank you, Mr. Robertson." At first, Tank didn't know what he was talking about, but then he remembered the nameplates they had made the week before. Tank had been at the amusement park in his head then as well. He barely remembered making his. "Don't listen to these kids around here. One day you'll grow up and be their boss." Tank looked into Mr. Robertson's face and gave his best embarrassed thank you smile. It wasn't until after Mr. Robertson walked away that Tank noticed the pocket holding the card was hot. He snapped his hand away as if it were on fire and bent over, letting his shirt fall away from his skin and ignoring the wide load jokes coming from behind him. Tank didn't bother finishing the rest of the day and ran home as fast as his feet would carry him. When he got home, he didn't find out if his mother was there. He went straight for the staircase and ran up the stairs to his room, slamming the door behind him, dropping the card to the ground. In his room, he hovered over the card and studied it, trying to find differences between it and normal bicycle cards. There was nothing out of the ordinary that he could see. His card had the same design as the other cards. It had the same feel and the correct weight. It was just a small playing card that had been lying on the ground. He got down on all fours and stared at the card. Had it all been in his imagination? Had he needed escape from school so badly that he had made himself think the card had actually heated up? "Honey? Tanner, baby? Didn't you hear me?" Tank squealed and turned into his mother's perturbed face, wondering how she had gotten there and why she looked so scared. "I thought something was wrong. I was about to call the hospital. Are you okay, baby?" The terror faded from her face, but was still present, like a ghostly streak left on a pane of glass by a greasy finger. Tank stared at his mother. The hospital? Why would she need to call the hospital, he wondered. He was fine. He had just gotten a scare from the card and was winding down from school. He wondered whether she was angry with him because he had ditched. "Baby, speak to me. Are you okay?" His mother's voice was frantic, and when he looked out the window, he saw why. Had he fallen asleep? How could it be dark outside? He looked into his mother's eyes, and he gave her his best smile. He spent long hours in front of his mirror perfecting that look, that everything is fine look. "Sorry, Mom. I didn't mean to scare you. I guess I just fell asleep. I was really tired, and I found this card outside. I guess I lost track of time." It was the worst excuse he could possibly think up. Trite and pathetic, the typical backtracking of a teenager in trouble. But his mother bought it all the same. "Are you sure you're okay?" Tank could see relief emerge on his mother's face and hear it in her voice. He had successfully wiped the greasy smear away. "Yeah, I think I'm just gonna go to sleep. I think that's all I need right now." Tank morphed his expression from a happy, reassuring smile to tired and worn. Once again, his mother bought it. "Okay, baby. But let me know if there's anything I could get you. Just yell down. I'll be listening." She leaned down and kissed his forehead. "Thanks, Ma," he said, hugging her. They both got up, and his mother tucked him into bed. He gave her another big smile as she kissed him on the cheek, and he watched as she exited the room. She deliberately left the door slightly cracked before leaving, making sure to give him a "I love you." Once she was gone, Tank sat up in bed and eyed the card on the ground. He gave a little huff of confusion and lay back down, quickly falling asleep. That was the first dinner he ever missed. Tank woke the next morning and left for school after having a hearty breakfast. His mother had woken early, expecting him to make up for lost time, and she had cooked him a feast. He ate ravenously, acting like he hadn't eaten for days, and Province felt relieved as she watched him. How could he remain her sweet little fubsy if he didn't eat? On his way to school, Tank felt the front pocket of his baggy shirt for the card he had safely tucked there that morning. He wasn't entirely sure why he was bringing it along, especially since it had made him leave school early the day before. He enjoyed the feeling of the card, though, sitting down low in his pocket. It was like a secret no one else knew about, not even his mother. What kind of powers could the card have? And where had it come from? He thought the power the card surged would only improve his ability to go to his happy place and escape reality, ensuring that he could ignore the real world and all its cruelties. It might even give him the power to make himself skinny and make girls interested in him. Most of all, he thought, it might give him the power to stand up to bullies, to stand up to Ace. Tank's day at school was moderately long and very boring. When he got to class, he immersed himself in work, forgetting he had the card after about 20 minutes of arithmetic. The hours zipped by, but that all changed when school let out for the day. He left through the gym door on the side of the school, the way he usually did, and made for home. But he only got halfway before the card began to radiate heat again. He was scared at first, remembering how the card had burned his chest the day before. But his curiosity was stronger than his fear. He reached in his pocket and whipped the card out. He expected to see it glowing a shade of orange, bright with fire, but it just looked like a playing card. Warmth coursed into his fingers, and Tank could only wonder how much the card heated up. What kind of magic did it contain? He turned it over, thinking maybe the back held some clue to the mystery. The back was a dream. White flames leaping, inextricably there despite the afternoon glare. He dropped to his knees and slammed the card down on the sidewalk in an effort to put out the flames. He inspected his hands to assess how bad the burn was. Nothing. He was so taken with the strangeness of the situation, he barely noticed when a rock skidded off the ground just beyond him. He began to turn to see where it had come from, but before he could, he heard the chorus of taunts. "Look at the fat ass, and don't get too close, he might eat you." Tank felt his anger rising, alongside the dread of human interaction he always carried in his heart. Behind him were Carlos Williams, Ben Massey, and Jake Ace Wild. Anger fled from Tank the moment he saw them, replaced by intense fear. When these guys decided to bully someone, they didn't quit. Tank picked up his card, his secret power, and tried to run. But his legs had turned to jelly, and his feet tripped over themselves, flopping him to the ground. He grabbed the card and thrust it into a shirt pocket, trying to ignore the warm waves emanating from it, trying to hide his fear from the three bullies. "What's that you got there, fat boy?" Carlos squealed, kicking dust and small stones into Tank's face. Tank immediately pressed his hand to the card to protect it, and then promptly scolded himself, recognizing that if they didn't know about the card before, they did now. He pulled his hand back as nonchalantly as he could and put it into the pocket of his slacks. "Carlos asked you a question, Pillsbury. I expect you to answer," Ace said. It's nothing," Tank whimpered. He tried to ignore the pain burning into his chest and swore he was going to catch fire. Thoughts of his happy place skittered vaguely around the corners of his mind, but pain focused his mind in reality. "It's something. Otherwise you'd take your hand out of your pocket," Ace said. "I want you to give it before Ben here can count to five, or you're going to be in a world of pain." Tank closed his eyes at the onslaught of tears as the gravity of his situation hit him. He had to stop them, or they'd steal his card. Steal the source of all that pain and joy. So he opened his eyes and sneered at Ace. It didn't work. "Fuck him up." Ben knocked him down and Carlos kicked him in his ribs, the impact rolling him a few feet away. The boys readied themselves while giving him a chance to stand up and get his bearings. The heat of the burning card spiked in intensity, blazing against his chest, which made him notice something that he never had before. He was taller than they were. The three bullies walked toward him, their hands balled in fists. And Tank forgot about the incessant burning. Instead, he felt an immense anger well up inside him. He balled his hands into fists, mimicking them. When Ace was in range, Tank swung at him with all the strength he had, aiming directly for Ace's stomach, sinking his fist in and doubling him over. But before Tank could manage anything else, Ben and Carlos descended, showering his head and shoulders with fists. When Ace got up, he forgot about the card Tank had been hiding and laid into Tank's ribs with kicks and punches. It surprised Ace that Tank would fight back, and it incensed him more. He wanted to make sure that Tank didn't do it again. So he beat him as hard as he could. He beat him until his own hands were bloody. He beat him until Tank went limp. Ace was used to feeling bigger than others. It made him feel like a man. The last thing that ran through Tank's head was that he had protected his Ace. He had won. Tank woke in the hospital terrified. He was lost, with no idea where he was. The room around him was white and Spartan, without any familiar surroundings. He felt for the card, but only found a thin piece of fabric he knew to be a hospital gown. He looked down at his chest, and his head whirled, the room spinning, and vomit threatening the back of his throat. He screamed for his mother before he realized what he was doing. Instead of his mother, an unfamiliar nurse arrived. "What's wrong, honey?" the nurse cooed at him. "Where am I? What happened?" Countless questions converged in his head, clouding and evaporating his articulation. "You're in the hospital. You got beat up pretty good. I'm surprised you're awake now. The doctors didn't think you'd be up for hours." The nurse reached out and stroked Tank's hair. "Huh?" Pain flooded every joint in his body. He felt each individual cut on his face and ribs. Every move made, each bruise, feel like a fist burrowing deep in his muscles. "You've been unconscious for 2 days now, honey. It's good to see you awake." She got up and walked over to a table, picking up a small paper cup. 2 days? There was no way he could have been out for 2 days. It had to be a joke. It must have only been a couple of hours. They hadn't beaten him that badly. Had they? 2 days for sure, honey. Your mother has been worried sick. She came in and cried for hours, and she said she was going to sue the pants off whoever did this to you. She said she wanted to see them in the chair. She went a little crazy. The nurse put a cup in Tank's hands. "Why don't you take these now? I'm sure you're in pain. These'll lessen it, make you sleep some." She wiped the hair out of Tank's face and smiled. "Now you get some rest. I'm going to call your mother, and we'll get her over here as soon as we can." She left the room. Tank lay there, head spinning, and closed his eyes to try to remember exactly what had happened. But all he could picture was the card. It preoccupied his mind so completely that it was everything outside of the pain. The nurse had said his mother was coming. There was nothing to worry about there. Where was the card?
You've been listening to part one of Sean McBride's Another Ace in the Hole, read by James Paul Xavier. Part two will be continued next week on episode 7.